Before we get into this, I do want to ask, are you up to date with Mandalorian?
No. I haven't seen the finale. So no, okay. Because I'm waiting for my family. And it's awful because I follow all these Star Wars accounts and they all have like, and I'm like, so don't say a goddamn thing, Scott Devine.
I was literally watching it yesterday. I think Story and I were watching it last night.
Did you finish it?
Yeah. And Story's like, oh, I wonder if Ian's seen it. I was like, oh yeah, of course he's seen it.
No, I know. I've seen the second to last, but I should just do it and then pretend that I haven't for my family because sometimes that's what I do. I'm a bad person. Have you done that before? There's so much Star Wars feed in my life that I feel like I just need to watch the episode and then like, okay, cool, good, got it. And then I'm like, guys, we should watch the episode, right? This is terrible. I hope my family never listens to this because they don't know.
What a great episode.
Yeah. And then I really work on my acting like, oh, I did that. You know, there's that episode with Jack Black and Lizzo, and I watched that earlier. And then, when my kids watched it, I was like, I waited for a while. Then I was like, oh, you guys, is that?
No. Amazing.
It's sad that I admitted that, but it's true. It's true. Well, sometimes I do that.
Yeah, I've done similar. Hour one is I'll watch films with Story, but we won't tell Lisa. She'll be like, he absolutely cannot watch Jurassic Park Dominion. And I'm like, absolutely not, Lisa.
Of course.
And then, Lisa's out, with winter and we're chilling, Story, and I'm like, huh. What should we do? Maybe a little bit of Dominion. Now, it's not as bad as it sounds. It's not right after she's... I'm not like, ha, 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 ha. I'm going to watch this with Story. This may be like a few months afterwards, but that conversation that I've had with Lisa is a distant memory. And I'm like, come on, let's watch this thing. So yeah, I've got my own version of it.
Hey, I will say this. I do think that watching something that is maybe like slightly inappropriate with your parents helping you sort of process it, I think it's actually good in a way. It's like a safe way. I may have said this before, but it's a safe way to experience intensity. It's better to watch it with you than for Story to sneak away and watch it on his own, which he will do with other things in his life.
Yeah, when you said things that are slightly inappropriate, I automatically kind of sort of like slipped into my childhood brain there when I was like 11 years old or whatever. I'm watching a film with my mom and dad, and then suddenly there's sort of like a sex scene on there.
Dad is the worst.
All three of us are just sort of like, but nobody dare say anything. We're just sort of, please get to the end of this.
Is very awkward. Yeah, that is awkward. And I don't know if, I guess when I was saying slightly inappropriate, I guess I meant violence or like intense emotion or drama, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Oh, there's probably better parents than I that would say, oh, well, no, helping them have the birds and the bees talk after you've watched.
Have had so many funny freaking conversations. Well, you must have had it with your kids as well.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Just sort of like funny conversations where you're like, shit, where's Emily? Why am I Ask your mom.
Oh, God. I thought I was going to be this amazing dad that was going to, all the things I was going to talk about. We're going to have this open convo about all this stuff. And I will never forget, dude, walking my daughter Everly to, first grade, right? Yeah. We're walking to school and she goes, Dad, where do babies come from? She's like, I know it's like in mom's tummy, but how do they get there? And I was like, oh, what are we doing after school today? Oh, God. I mean, I just such a dick. Just like shame. I was like, oh, well. Yes.
Oh, it's so funny, isn't it?
Dude, yeah. Stupid. It's so tricky. It's so tricky because you see their innocence just on this thin razor wire, and then it's over.
Yeah, it's just like, crazy. Like we did the same. Well, I think it was Story, first of all, because obviously he's older. But I can remember him asking me, he was like, "What about?" And I was like, "Okay." And I was like, and he was reverse engineering it in his mind. He was like,
"Yes,
where
yes.
did it come out of?" Huh? I tell you, he's like, "Oh," and he's like, "And how does it get in there?" And I was like, "Well." And he's like, "And how does that get in there?" And I'm like, "Well," and I'm having to sort of like feed him sort of like a bit of information and then just like say nothing for sort of like 20 seconds.
And as
he
kind of
sort of like comprehends what I'm saying, he's like,
"Yeah,
oh." And then, and it's come up and it like over the last 2 years, we'll kind of cycle round it. You know, he'll sort of like, he'll be like, "But is there another way of doing it?" Like, this happened just a few weeks ago. He was just like sitting in the back of the car. We're chilling. We're driving along.
Yeah.
You know, listening to music. It's, you know, dad and son time. And he just sort of like broke up and he's like, so is there another way of doing it? Like, is there another way?
Just like,
of like not having to do that bit. And I'm like, and I was like, well.
Oh my God.
Not really. I was like, but it's kind of like food. I was like, do you know, like there's some food that you might not like right now. And I was like, but in the future, you might like that food. I was like, oh, same incredible. Deal.
Oh my God. I just love it too. Because yes, there is a moment, there is a time in your life pre-puberty where you're like, I love Story trying to like, is there a loophole? Is there a way that I can get around not having to do this?
Yes.
Because that sounds weird. Because it is weird. It's so weird.
It is weird, isn't
and
it?
And then you cross a threshold and it's not weird anymore. It's all you think about. It's just.
Oh, yeah. That, dude. That's what I was saying to him. I was like, you see, you know, like, I didn't like pizza when I was a kid, and now I love pizza.
Yes.
He's just like, oh, I think about pizza all the time. I was like, well, it's kind of like that. I was like, right now, you think there's nothing worse than pizza. Well, there's going to be a time in the life where you're going to think about pizza a lot.
Yeah. That's great. Oh, dude, that's very good. That's very good. This is now a parenting podcast, everybody. Oh, no. Sorry,
apologies to anybody out there that doesn't have any kids and you're like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Like, but all I'm gonna, you know, like, if you're gonna have kids in the future, watch out, dude.
Watch
it's
out.
It's coming to you, baby.
I just talked to my friend Jeff Schreiner, who works at Korg USA. He works, you know, with Spectre and Aguilar and stuff. Yeah. And he just had their third. So he has like a 4 week old infant. And I did a call with him the other day and I heard this baby in the background. I'm like, dude, is it? And I'm using your word now. I'm like, is it just carnage right now? He's like,
bloodbath.
Yes. And then he told me about this guy, a coworker, John Stipple. I'm saying your name, John Stipple. Great dude. No kids. Also works for Korg, who was at NAMM and called Jeff Schreiner and said like, oh man, you know, NAMM was crazy. I'm so beat. Like, I took the flight. I got home. Oh man, I just took a nap because I was so beat. And Jeff is on the other, you know, with like a howling 4 week old baby going like, great. So we had a real good dad. We had that convo that all dads have of like, you know, when you talk to your friends that don't have kids.
Oh yeah.
All those assholes.
Yeah. All those assholes with loads of parents and advice. No, the best parents out there are the ones who know kids, right? All the advice.
Oh God. You know, and I'm like, oh yeah, the guys, oh yeah, all those people without kids. And then I'm like, sometimes I'm like, ah, but that choice sometimes, oh, I love my children. I love them. I love them so much. Ah, but that choice, ah, sometimes, ah, you pine away. You pine away.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Love you kids. Love you,
Dashiell. We love you guys as well out there without kids. It's just, we need to talk about this stuff. We need to talk about it because we need to sort of like laugh and cry about it at the same time. But we also need to prepare you guys as well for it as well.
Yeah,
if you haven't got any kids, trust me, however you think it's gonna go down, it ain't gonna go down like that. Anyway, we're gonna talk about traveling with bases.
Yeah,
because Ian's got some hacks, I've got some hacks. Ooh. And traveling with your base is like legitimately a stressful thing to go through sometimes.
Oh, it's
stressed
brutal.
Me out in the past. Stressed me out.
Yes.
Have we got any horror stories first that we want to share? I think we should split this into two: horror stories and then
tips.
Tips. Horror stories and tips. Okay. Who wants to go first?
I got a good one. Let me just say this too. If you haven't watched the Adam Neely video, he just, right now we're recording this on 420. Oh no, 420. Hey, Scott, I had a friend that smoked a lot of weed in college. Do you guys have 420 over in the UK? Do you call it that?
No, what's 420? Is it like a special kind of weed?
So 420, I don't know why this happened, but 420, like at the time, like 4 p.m., 20 minutes, 420, like everybody sparks up a J, dude. Everybody smokes a little weed. Now, listen, I've never smoked weed in my entire life. I've never smoked a cigarette either, but a lot of people do.
I've smoked a lot of cigarettes. I've smoked weed, but it's been so freaking long.
Listen.
And I don't want it to be. It's been like years, like decades, but not purposefully.
Yeah.
I'm up for it. You're right.
Somebody bring around a little something for Scott. Jeez, yeah. I tell you what, man, I've never done it, but, I have. So 420 is like that when it turns 420, I guess, whatever. It's so dumb. Maybe it's an American thing. That's when you spark up, dude. That's when you eat a gummy. But also on 420, on April 20th, right? It's like weed day, right? It's like an excuse to, yeah. So that's what today is. That's when we're recording it real quick. My college roommate, man, there. He was watching The Empire Strikes Back once, never forget it. And he had a cutting board with a thing of cheese on it, right?
Yeah.
And he was just cutting off little hunks of cheese and eating it. And then I'll never forget, man, he put a piece of cheese up to his mouth and went, and then went, oh no, I tried to smoke the cheese, man. And I was like, what? And he was like, I tried to smoke the cheese.
That's so, when you know that, you're on the right direction. When you're trying to smoke chunks of cheese, you're doing something right.
Dude, so I say it now all the time. I've never forgot it, dude. I've never forgot it as long as I live. I tried to smoke the cheese. Now we say it a lot if like we've done something stupid. Smoked the cheese on that one. So anyway, all that to say, we are recording this on 420, and I don't even remember where I was going with this. You asked me about, oh my god,
horror,
dude.
Stories. I said,
yeah,
there's horror some stories. Base travel horror stories. You start talking about smoking
about Adam Neely. I've been smoking the cheese, apparently. Adam check it
Neely,
out.
Yes.
Adam Neely just put out, and the reason I said 420 is because, you know, a couple days ago, 17th, 18th, whatever, he put out a video about traveling with the bass and all the stuff that he has gone through with his band Sungazer. It's incredible. All the stuff that they've gone through, especially internationally, because that's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
Flying internationally with a bass. And it's interesting and amazing. But there's a couple of things I was like, Adam, you should have talked about this. There's a couple of extra tips that I believe Scott and I have for you at the end. But here, I'll start out with this horror story. I had a student when I used to teach in university. I'm talking like you. When I used to teach at a college, when I used to teach at a college in Minneapolis called North Central University, there was a student of mine, and we've actually talked about this, and he said it was cool to name drop him. His name is Jarrell. I'm just going to say his first name. And Jarrell had a bass that he took. It was a Mustang bass. Remember when they were making those, Scott, those red Mustang basses?
Yeah.
He took that on a flight, checked it in a hard case, and TSA took every screw out of the base.
Yeah.
So they basically, they pulled everything, you know, like pick guard, electronics,
everything,
pickups, bridge. Yeah. I mean, like, and basically inspected it thinking that what there was going to be, you know, a huge kilo of cocaine inside of it or something.
Yeah.
Right. And then instead of putting it back together, they're like, well, I don't know where all these screws and parts go. They just tossed it back on top of the base.
Oh God.
And then just
so grim.
Closed up the base and sent it back. And dude, brutal.
Yeah, brutal. Like and the obviously the moral of the story is try not to check it. But if you are checking it, if you do have to check it, don't, because I did this. I locked it. I had a Hiscox case, great cases, pretty bulletproof. locked it, and then when I picked up the case at the other end, the lock had just been prized open. Because they need to be able to get, if somebody wants to get inside, they're just going to break it to get inside and have a look. So whatever, so what I started to do is actually, if I had to check it, I'd just tape it. So I'd tape it with sort of like fragile tape and stuff like that. And then if they had to get in, they could just, you know, cut it and open it up. And I would say like 50% of the time they did cut it and look inside.
You're coming in hot already with the tips. Scott giving you tips right away. And since we're talking tips real quick, check this out. So this is a great hack that I learned from a guy flying with Pelican cases. So yeah, there's bases. And maybe you've got them in a big road case. If there's ever any opportunity to put like a padlock through, you know, little eyelet holes or whatever, like in Pelican cases, you close them. And then there's places where you can put a lock. Instead of putting locks there, you put removable zip ties.
So they can actually clip the zip ties.
Inside, this is such a pro tip. You include two more zip ties with a nice little note that says, hey, if you cut these, would you please put these back on? Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you for keeping our country safe. Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
You give them a little love.
That's a serious pro tip.
Yes. And then I have, sometimes they don't put them on, but I have experienced it where there's a slip inside, the TSA, you know, has inspected it or whatever. And then they've used those zip ties, popped them back on.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. My two horror stories, they're not so horrific, but I've never actually had a base been damaged, I don't think I've had a base actually damaged, but I've had a case with a hole in it.
Damn.
It was a Hiscox case again, so it was actually the one that had the lock popped open, but at a different time. Poor case was getting hammered, but it had a hole the size of a golf ball in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like about the size, it just sort of like some
like a puncture,
like a pipe had just like boshed right into the side of the case and cracked it.
Yeah,
and that case also, so it had a hole in it. It also had a split another time all the way around the bottom edge where it just been dropped from a height, you know, right on its sort of like butt end and cracked all the time. And it actually, I traveled so much with that case that it actually, it had to get decommissioned. I had to decommission the because it was just kind of like, it was dead. It had the lock popped open. It had this hole, this golf ball size hole in it. Now, it didn't go obviously all the way through, but it just sort of like cracked the actual, like you could see the foam inside. And then this huge crack on the bottom of the base had a huge crack at the end of its life on the top of the case as well. So it had just been thrown around. So the moral of the story is, if you are going into, I'll say this tip now, then I'm going to backtrack. Moral of the story is, if you are going to check your base, the likelihood of it being thrown around, bashed by things you don't want it to get bashed by, is highly likely.
Yeah.
Highly likely. So if you have to check your base, for God's sake, put it in an awesome case, not a gig bag. So that's, you know.
Well, and then all right.
My other tip as well. Not my other tip, sorry. Because I've got some other tips. But my other horror story, and I've had this a load of times, I think I've probably spoken about it on the podcast before, is, and this is specifically with connecting flights, is that you get where you're going, your base isn't there. So you've got, for instance, I'm flying to Leeds to London and then Leeds to wherever, Barcelona or London to wherever, right? And there's a tight turnaround when it's there.
Oh, yeah.
That tight turnaround, your base has not got legs and cannot run across the airport like you can. So it just sits on a trolley and waits for some dude who's just like waiting for 420 to come along. I better push this base over inside the airport. And then he gets there, the plane's gone, right? So maybe over 10 times that's happened where the base just hasn't got to, to my end point. Actually, my brother uses a wheelchair. Check this out. And he flew to Russia and the same thing happened with his wheelchair.
Oh, brutal. What did he do?
I can't remember.
They give you a loaner, like a loaner I rental think, car, sort of, like yeah, a but rental it's like chair. A
total piece of crap,
of course.
Though.
Yeah, dude, it's not like your sick chair like, that you live in. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's just sort of this sort of like brutal. Old school, like 1970s wheelchair, like part made of wood, kind of vibe.
Yeah,
and yeah, so it happens with more things than bases. But do bear in mind, if you're checking it and you're going to, and you're going to do the connection and stuff like that, oh. It might not get there, but don't panic. Don't panic. They will get it to you.
after your gig.
Maybe. Yeah. After your gig. I've had to hire bases and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There's so much to say. I think I want to address one thing right now that you said about like, if you're checking, do not check in a gig bag. I have got to say that
you've done it right.
Yeah. And our good friend Corey Wong always checks. I'm talking not gate check at the gate, but I'm talking at where you put in your suitcases. He checks his strats in a mono gig bag every time. And he thinks, and I wonder if this is true, that there's more care. Like when you check in a case, in a big hard case, they're throwing that crap around. I don't know. Are these golf clubs? I don't know. Are these, you know, is this a guy that's going to go hunt some big game? And they're tossing those cases around because they don't necessarily feel like it's a fragile deal, right? But when it's in a gig bag, it screams guitar and they're more careful. With that.
Maybe, yeah.
Also, yeah. Wow. In a gig bag, in a really well-protected gig bag, I mean, obviously, if a pipe goes through it, that's going to be brutal. But they're better for low impact. Like, they're not bonking around. It's not like, you know, when you drop an instrument in a case.
Yes.
The instrument takes all of that. That case is hard. Bang! All that force transitions to the instrument. Yeah. Whereas a bag sort of absorbs it a little better if it's a nice one.
Yeah.
Man, I will say, I have been traveling. I mean, I've done hundreds of flights probably with like a mono case, Vertigo, mono M80s. And man, I've never had a damage. I think one time, maybe a tuner got a little bent on one of my jazz basses, although it could have happened somewhere else too. I just noticed it after a flight. Got you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, I always try to carry on. Right. But if I can't, I'm okay to gate check. I don't want to try to check it at the luggage, but so gate checking, right, is when you're about to board the plane and they're like, oh, not going to get on with that. And they make you put it and they put it down where the strollers are and the, you know, the car seats or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have never had a bad experience with that. I've never have. And I'm sure I will.
You normally do at the actual, you put your shit on the conveyor belt, right? You show them your ticket, put the stuff on the conveyor belt. And then do you just say, hey, can I gate check this? And they say, yeah, no worries.
Wait, are you talking about when I'm, if I'm traveling and I have luggage to check?
No, if you've got sort of your base in a gig bag.
Okay.
And you're giving the sort of like the lady your tickets and stuff like that, or guy your tickets. You're smiling.
That's so funny. You're giving the lady your tickets.
You're the lady.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Or but guy. Yeah. It's so funny.
Oh, God. There's not that many guys do it. So you're giving the ticket, and they're checking you in and stuff like that, and then you can put your luggage or your base on there like Corey does, or you can ask to gate check it, can't you?
Well, here's the thing. I very, very rarely ever travel with stuff that I need to check.
Got it.
And so I just usually walk right through security with the base. But like when I came over to the UK and I had a suitcase full of clothes because we were batching all that content, I put the base down. I don't ask a single thing. I assume in my mind that that's carry-on luggage. I don't say a word.
This is exactly what I do. Yeah, I just assume.
Yeah, and you then don't if they say ask a word. Like,
oh. What? Oh,
you mean my handbag?
Yeah. I just assume.
I don't say, can I? And I've very rarely had trouble with that. There are a couple airlines. God, I don't know. I think I flew. I don't want to get it wrong. I've had a one other quick horror story. I was with Eric Hutchinson flying with the MD, Elliot Blofus. At the time, I was brand new in the gig. And I think we flew God, I think it was American Airlines. And we had our guitars trying to get on. And then there was a gate agent that said, you cannot take those on the plane. And we said, oh, are you sure? Can we just see if there's, you know, because you can always ask, can we see if there's room in the overhead bin? Yeah. No. The overhead bin, no, you have to gate check them. And we're like, oh, yeah. Well, we'd like to try to get on and check. And she said, oh, really? If you'd like to try to take those on the plane, get in the back of the line. And we went, what? And she said, get in the back of the line in front of all these people. And we did. Oh, dude, it's a regret that I have. I part of me wishes I just would have said, no, thanks. And stood there. Like, yeah, what, is she going to push me to the back? You know, I'm a tall drink of water, Scott. I got Viking blood in me.
You got Viking blood, dude. Vikings.
What, you going to push me to the back of the line? I don't think so.
Ian Ragnar Allison.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, tails between legs. We went to the back of the line. And she was like, well, now all that space is going to be, you know, taken up. So you're going to have to gate check them anyway. And we're like, we'll still, since you made us go to the back of the line, we're still going to look. And then the wild thing is we get on the plane, and this is so typical, and I'm sure you felt this, Scott, where gate agents are all stressed. Oh, there's not going to be any room. And then you get on the plane, there's totally room. Or there's a coat closet, you know,
yeah, and
there's
somebody that's like, oh, super, yeah, nice on the, yeah, plane. Yeah, they're, yeah, all super,
they're not
nice,
stressed. Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, here, yeah, give them to me. We'll put them in the, you know, and we're like, yeah, oh, my God.
So what are the levels, crazy, then? What's the sort of like the – yeah, level one is that you just take it on, right? You just assume you take it on. You do not ask when you're putting your tickets in. You just wander through. You just wander onto the plane. Say nothing. Level one, that's the dream.
Oh, and then there's a big, huge, beautiful, long, extended overhead thing right above your seat. And you slot it in.
Yeah, yeah. So what's level two?
Level two, slightly more difficulty. You walk, you're still going to carry that bass on. You got a nice gig bag. It's all good.
Yeah.
You're carrying it on, and they say, ooh, actually, here's level two. You walk on and you notice, ooh, this is an Airbus 320 that has super compact, deep, but short overhead spaces. Level two, as you say to the flight crew, is there any way that you could put this in the coat closet? Now, here's the deal. The coat closet is actually reserved for the airline employees' shit. So it's their space. So you have to go to them like you are a guest in their home. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah,
you say, is there any way? I know this is a pain in the ass or a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Is there any way that you could please stick this in the coat closet? And typically I would say 90% of the time they're like, for sure. And sometimes they even go above and beyond and move their stuff around or take their stuff out. Right. And it's real cool. That's level two. Slightly more stressful.
Okay. Level three.
You still got that base. You're going to walk that thing on the plane, but the gate agent clocks you and says to you, sir, you need a pink tag for that. Ooh, the dreaded pink tag, Scott.
Oh, yeah, the pink tag.
Because that means, and you say, what? And they say, yeah, let me, I need to put a pink tag on that. And that means that you're going to give it to someone at the end of the jet bridge, and they're going to gate check it.
Yeah.
Meaning that.
Dude, I know this tip.
Yeah, I have this tip on my Instagram in the highlighted
stories.
I am
so sorry for anybody that's a gate agent. Anyway, carry on.
They've probably seen this go down a million times. And so here's the thing. I've never had a bad experience gate checking. You know, you give it to someone, they put it in the cargo hold where they put the strollers and stuff, and then they bring it back to you after the flight. It doesn't go to baggage claim. Yeah. You know, you may want to check that out. And sometimes it's nice because then you're not dealing with trying to find a spot on the plane, but it's out of your control. That can suck. It's stressful. So here's my tip. I say, oh, of course, no problem. In fact, sometimes I do a preemptive strike and I walk up to the gate and I say,
Have you got a pink?
Move where you say, hey, I'll take that pink tag right now. And they go, oh my gosh, this musician is willing to play ball.
So responsible. So kind.
Yes, yeah, so kind.
Respects us so much.
Yes. And then
what do you do once you've put it on your base and go to the gate?
Then you walk down the jet bridge. You take a look at that pink tag with animosity, dude, and you tear it off. Nobody tells me what to do.
And nobody asks because they assume that the gate agent just let you through.
Yeah, dude. And you stick that pink tag in your pocket and you walk and put it on the plane. Now here I have one time I experienced a thing with animosity. Tear off the pink tag because it feels so good, dude. It feels so good. And then I got it on the plane, but there was nowhere to put it. And I was like, oh, and they're like, we need to gate check that. And I had to go back out to the agent. And they're like, I thought I gave you a pink tag. And I'm like, they had put it on my base. You know, I was like, I don't know what happened. And they're like, all right, put another one on it, you know.
But so what was that? Was that level three?
Yeah, but the move now is, instead of tearing it off, which feels fucking great, you kind of, you know, you undo it like a, you know, kind of, yeah. So bitch, you're like, oh,
just in case.
Yeah, just in case. You don't want to face that gate agent again. Yeah. Okay, was that level three? I don't know. I think that was four.
So we've got one, just take it on.
Yeah.
Number two,
easy.
Take it on, ask them to put it in the coat closet. Yes. Number three, ask for the pink tag. Take the pink tag off when you're out of sight. Level four.
Gate check it. And guess what? It's a sturdy instrument. It's made of wood, dude. You ever see Happy Gilmore, Adam Sandler? Yes. Made of wood, real sturdy. Carl Withers, dude, with the hand. Made of wood, yeah. Real sturdy. But it is. Hey, man, you got that Fender. It's made of wood, real sturdy. Yeah. Yeah. You just trust, you go, am I being too precious about this? Maybe. And it goes and you put it in and they stick it in the plane and it goes down and you get it out afterwards and probably it's fine.
And it's all good. And what's level five? Level five is the Corey one.
Yeah, level five. I mean, you know, okay.
You just get in amongst them suitcases and you slide it down. Woo!
Yeah. God, baby, and, you know, there's something kind of cool about it where you're just like, I'm just going to check it. Now, okay, if you're checking it, yeah, Scott's got the stories about the Hiscox cases. Man, I don't know. I don't know about you, but everybody says those cases are great. I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but I have never had good experiences with those cases, man.
Have you?
Like, no. They slop around in there, and
the bases
feel like,
do slop around in there. I used to sort of like pack them out with socks. I'd put like socks and stuff to sort of like hold the base steady in there.
Yeah, and my Eric Hutchinson, who I've worked for forever, had one, and the feet came off it, so it would always fall down. And I don't know.
Yeah,
I think if you're gonna check it, you do one of two things: you go the gig bag idea, like Corey Wong, and you think, they're gonna be gentle with this. He's never had a problem. I've even checked a couple times in a double gig bag where I had clothes in it and the bass.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fine. Or you go big flight case. And I would suggest doing something like a Gator or SKB roller.
Dude,
it's a big rectangle.
Dude, SKB.
Yeah.
Base safe.
Yeah.
I think I've never had one, but yep. I have had one. But I've got a couple of friends who've done a lot of flights, and they swear by those SKB base safe.
Because you can
get a big gig bag, right? And you put gig bag inside this like plastic shell.
Yes. Yeah. The base safe. I had one. I will say this. I'll give you my two cents on the base safe because I've tried all this stuff. I bought one. I had an experience where TSA opened it up. So it's essentially a shell, just like Scott's saying, that you put in your favorite gig bag. You put this hard shell around it as wheels. Yeah. But I had it where the TSA opened the gig bag, and then shoved it back in the base safe and didn't really close the gig bag. And, kind of the straps were, and it was not great.
Yeah.
Also, I had a wheel fall off of mine. Maybe everybody that uses them, it's great. But to me, then you got this extra thing. Then you get there, you take the base out, but now you've got this giant friggin' clamshell thing that you've got to deal with.
Yeah.
And put somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't love it personally. I've done the big SKB, which is one big ass case. It has rollers, but then you risk, I think those are fairly safe. Then you really risk, losing it. You risk the flight, you know, them not getting it to you, right?
Yeah,
true. And that's the thing that you risk. Like you were saying, you got connecting flights. They're not going to get there on time. So, yeah, that's level five, is you check it in something.
It's a pain, isn't it? But And it sounds like that you, for the most part, haven't had to check it. You've got all of these cool little checks.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, and it's funny because Adam –
Adam Neely.
Yeah, Neely. Sorry. Yeah, yeah, I was thinking. Sorry. I think I was like Adam Levine. My mind was like, not the singer of Maroon 5. Not the singer of Maroon 5.
What's wrong with
me, dude? Yeah. Adam Sandler. he talks about like, wow, you know, there's all these, it's a $31 billion industry. And here we are talking about all these secret hacks that you have to do to get your, the friggin' thing that you work with on the plane. And it was interesting. I was like, okay, I've taken a different approach where I don't feel like I'm entitled to bring it. I think that it's a pain in the ass for everyone. And I sort of feel like when someone accommodates me, I'm very grateful. I don't feel this thing of like, well, it's what I do for a living, so I need to be able to bring it on. I mean, think about that in any other profession. Like, there's no one that's flying with something that's 4 feet tall, 2 feet wide, and sticking it in the overhead. It's just us. Yeah, so I kind of feel like, I don't know, I don't want to be entitled around that. So I'm always very grateful when I have time. If a flight crew has been super cool, I will stay. Like, for instance, I did a Delta flight. Man, I wish I remember these people's names, but I got on Airbus, no way in the overheads. Coat closet was totally packed. And she was like, let me see. There's another. She's like, I'll see if I can get it in a seat where, you know, someone who hasn't purchased a seat, I'll strap it in. I'm like, amazing. Because you could also, I guess level six is buy a seat. But no one's doing that. But you can. Yeah. No one's doing that. But she was like, I'll do that. And then she's like, the flight's sold. And then she was like, let me talk to the captain and check this out. Scott, have you experienced this? She went to the pilot and said, there's a guy here, you know, whatever. Could he put his instrument in your space? And the pilot said, hell yeah, because he was cool, dude.
Because he was awesome. Yeah.
And so there's a spot behind the pilot and the co-pilot's chairs where they put their shit. And they were able to sneak the bass in there.
That's awesome, actually, yeah.
Pretty cool.
I'm looking around. We've got 10 minutes left before I have to call it. In this 10 minutes, what is your favorite gig bag? If somebody was like, I want a gig bag. I want to be able to fly with it.
Yep.
What gig bag is it?
I'm going to give you two options. The fancy option is Glenn Cronkite. They used to be in the Bay Area. Now they're in Minneapolis, actually.
How do you spell that? Glenn, obviously, but Glenn what?
G-L-E-N-N. And then Cronkite, I think, is like C-H-R-O-N-K-I-T-E.
Oh, Cronkite. So C-R-O-N-K-H-I-T-E. Yeah, Cronkite.
They are incredible, beautiful, leather, expensive, well-padded, amazing bags. I've flown with that case a number of times. I even had to gate check that case. But that, it's pretty bougie. They're expensive. I think they're like $800.
They are.
But I love that case. It always gets looks. It's survives forever. They're amazing. But that's
super
said,
padded. Is it super padded?
Yeah, it's super padded. It's like so tight around the instrument.
Got it.
That said, I think, you know, I would more generally recommend mono without a shadow of a doubt. I've flown probably 100 or more flights with a mono case. And specifically, I would say the Vertigo. The mono Vertigo is the best, like, all around case I've ever used. Super well padded shell around the outside. There's a big boot, a big, huge level of protection at the bottom. So even if it does get dropped, like your Hiscox case, like that happened to you.
Yeah.
This is the one survives. That I've got.
I'm looking at it. It's just right over there.
They're amazing.
It's got that. It's like a bit of tire, isn't it, on the bottom?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's not aesthetically the most pleasing case, but I think in terms of just durability, they're incredible. Incredible.
Yeah.
So I would say that. And Corey, I know that Corey always checks his stuff in an M80, which is the original mono case. And I think he does it in a double. He's got two guitars, like two Strats.
Yeah.
You know, two Corey Wong SIGs in there. And he just tosses them on, man. And then it's just like, you know, like this.
That is amazing.
Who cares?
Dude's got travel chops.
Big time. But I wonder, so my thing with that is, you know, I've done a few things. I've traveled internationally where I've checked in big cases. I've never had the deal where they have lost the instrument. But I think about that. Then what? I mean, that to me is brutal. I don't want to risk that. What do you do? So Scott, well, like when you, when they've lost them for you, what do you do? Did you get them back before the gig?
Sometimes. And then sometimes I've just got to like hire something when I'm there. That's fun. Yeah.
To me, dude, that the stress of that,
if
I would
you are
rather
gigging, like on the day, you have to hire. But if it's, what will normally happen is they'll bring it over on the next flight and they will get it to you. So they'll normally get it to the hotel where you're at. So say you fly on the Monday, you land wherever, they've left your case, you know, wherever you were connecting. They will get it to you on the Tuesday usually.
Dude.
So yeah.
Listen, my buddy Elliot, who was the old MD for Eric Hutchinson, he had a song. He wrote himself a jingle for the airport and it went like this. They call me Mr. Carry On Only, 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 Only. I sing it every time in the airport. Elliot, if you ever listen to this, I sing, they call me Mr. Carry On Only, 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 because dude, they call me Mr. Carry On Only. Hate checking. I want everything in my possession. I'm rolling in there, Scott, with a bass in a sick gig bag. And I've got a backpack that has been carefully considered, small pedal board setup, clothes, everything, toiletries, two bags to rule them all. That's it, dude. Bass, some kind of thing you can carry on. You roll on the plane. It is all good. They never leave your side. You're all set. That's what I do.
I'm joining that club. I'm joining your club. Quick shout out as well for some more gig bags. So love mono cases.
Yep.
F bases come with sick.
Oh yeah, they do. Those bags are great.
The new ones are great. Like some people might have seen the old ones, but I'm not sure how long they've been doing these new ones, but they've definitely been doing them for the last 3 years.
Who makes them?
I've got no idea. It could be Levi's. I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm not sure.
But they're like a fabric. They're pretty. They're like, they're tough too. I remember I had, when you were lending me the wall. Oh God, that was a great,
was a
great time.
Yeah, I put that in an F-base, didn't I?
Yeah. And it was awesome. It was robust, really nice.
TKL is one as well. There's TKL cases. They're good. And also Groove Gear do this thing called a gig blade. It's different. You'll have to check it out online. It's called the Groove Gear Gig Blade. Now, I've got the first one, which I actually really liked, and it had the entire front of the case. Oh, it's sort of like the back of it was kind of like carbon.
Yes.
So the back of it was carbon. The front of it was like really thick material. You could open up the entire front of it, so you could put loads of clothes in there.
Yeah, cool.
And it also had wheels on it. But I've just looked, and it looks like that has been replaced by, and I'm well, it looks like there's been two, but now the Gigblade 3.
There's
a Gigblade 3 now, and I am not sure whether it still has the stuff on it that I had. Wait a minute, there's got a Gigblade Edge.
Oh boy,
there's a few Gigblades,
and there's also the capsule that they make. Right?
I don't know if they make it anymore, dude. I saw it at NAMM.
I saw it at NAMM.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. The capsule, which is like a checked, you know.
Oh, I'm talking about the capsule. I'm talking shit here. Actually, yes, it is the capsule I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So it's the Gig Blade, the Groove Gear capsule, spelled K-A-P-S-U-L-E. It's badass, actually. And that is the one that's kind of like semi-hard. It's got a hard back, soft front. You can put a bunch of clothes and stuff like that in it. It's a really interesting design. So Groove Gear capsule. And then there's the Groove Gear Duo as well, which is a double version of that.
Yeah.
But these are heavier. These are heavier than
gig
bags.
They're beastly, yes.
Yeah, and the issue is that I've found, like I used to freaking travel to Barcelona to get lessons from Gary Willis every month.
Right. Yes,
dude,
that's right.
I used to have to walk with that Hiscox case. Oh, now saying that, the Groove Gear, the capsules come with wheels. So I think that you're getting maybe the best of both worlds there. If you can get some kind of gig bag that has wheels, it's still heavy though, man.
I know.
I'd probably just fly with a gig bag.
Yes. Dude, listen, you've got everything you need in that backpack, that carefully considered backpack that you've researched a little. Maybe you've checked out some Chase Reeves.
Yeah.
You put that backpack on, and then over the one shoulder, your whatever good shoulder it it is. You put that base on. It's just the base, right? It's not loaded up with a bunch of other crap. So yeah. It's probably only 11 pounds, including the case. And you are walking, dude. You're not rolling that thing over cobblestones.
Yeah,
you're not dragging it through the mud.
What club are we joining again? What's the club?
What's the club?
What's that song?
They call me Mr. Carry On Only, Only, Only,
Dude,
Only.
We should have t-shirts that just say Carry On Only.
When like, I'm, dude,
yeah,
and it perfectly works with your footsteps because you're walking through the airport, you're feeling smug about your pack, right, dude?
Yeah,
you look up, you see that thing that says you. Sometimes you see like luggage or carry on, and whenever I see that word carry on, it triggers the song. I feel pretty good, dude. Gotta say.
Oh, my word. Amazing. I think we should get t-shirts with it on. Guys, thank you so much for listening. If you're interested in getting one of them t-shirts, give us a shout. Maybe we'll be able to sort you out. obviously, you will find us over at scottsbasedlessons.com. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel for the podcast, you'll find that on YouTube as well. And yeah, we will catch you next time. Good luck with your travels.
I went in and then, well, take care, everybody.
See you guys. Bye.